Welcome back, everybody. This is Steve Lewis for Zone In. this week, I'm going to start off a new series on trying to lose weight. I've been getting a lot of questions about how do you go about doing that. and my guest today, I'm bringing back Mr. Keith Johnson from Schererville, Indiana. He's a personal trainer. Keith, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Steve. Thanks again for having me back on the show. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, same here. Good to hear you. For this series that we're going to start off with today, I just want to explain a little bit about what we're doing, because I guess everybody's a little concerned about how to go about losing weight, and they want to know how to get started. You know, do you do diet? Do you do, you know, what exercises? You know, some people say, well, you know, I only like yoga or something, or, you know, or I can't eat egg whites, you know, so they have all these different things that they're trying to figure out, you know, how is this going to fit into their lifestyle, and how they're going to make this work for them. And really, it's an individual thing. I mean, I'm no matter who you are, you know, you're not going to be like anybody else. You know, there may be some similarities, but you're not going to be like anybody else. So you've really got to look at who you are, and that's how we're going to start this series. I mean, well, that's why we're starting this series. Basically, so that you can figure out what you need to do for you, not somebody else, what you need to do for you, and then we start from there. Now, Keith is a personal trainer, and he's got several clients, you know, all different backgrounds, you know, different walks of life, you know, male and female. And so, you know, with his help, what we're going to do is, you know, try to go through the next 5 weeks so that, you know, you get a good understanding of what you need to do in order to lose weight. I mean, that is one of the biggest things out here right now. Like I said, you know, a couple months ago, I actually stated, you know, the Center for Disease Control said that, you know, 30% of all the Americans are basically overweight, obese, which is leading to, you know, numerous issues, diabetes, high blood pressure, cholesterol issues, you know. So really, a lot of this can be minimized or eliminated if you just lost the weight. But then how do you do that? So, and it's not as easy as it sounds. I mean, really, you know, I think a few weeks ago, or a month ago, or some time ago, I stated, I said, you know, when you go into the doctor's office, the first thing he says is stop eating. Well, it's not that simple. In fact, that may be the worst thing to do, is to stop eating, because now if you do that, then your body, you know, starts to figure out how to live off of very little calories at all. And then when it does that, any calories that you bring in, okay, now it starts to store as fat. So you're just, you know, it's just one problem after another. So what we want to do today is basically start off this series. Now, with the series, there are going to be five parts. The first thing Keith and I are going to talk about is going to be assessing the body. Okay, so that's one part. The next part is planning the diet. Okay, then after that, the next part is going to be planning the exercises. Okay, and then after that, we're going to look at, you know, are there any supplements that you can take to help you out here? I mean, I'm going to tell you, you're not going to get everything out of your diet, so you've got to look to see what you need to supplement to make sure that you're getting, you know, the proper amount. And then the last part, the last week, we're going to summarize everything, put everything together, and then, you know, so that you can pretty much see how the whole flow is supposed to go for you to lose weight. Now, we're going slow so that that it makes it easier for you to go out and figure out what you need to do. I mean, because there's some stuff you already may know, some stuff you may not know. So here we're just going to point you in the right direction, or try to point you in the right direction, okay, depending on where you're going, and then give you some tips. Okay, Keith, is that pretty much, am I sounding the same way that you're thinking?
Steve, I agree with you 100% the way we're heading right now. I got to say the hardest part of it starting a diet is getting started. I mean, a lot of people don't know where to begin, and that's where assessing your body type really comes into play. I mean, how many people, you could take you and I, for example, Steve. A diet that would work for me would probably not work for you necessarily, and that just, there's multiple things that come into play there. You know, genetics, age, how much muscle you have. It just, you got to assess yourself to see where you're at, your problem areas, and then go from there.
I totally agree. Yes, you're right. Everybody's got a different body type. So if we're going to start today, let's say we're starting today, assessing the body, and you know what? You know, I know people say, well, there's no difference between male and female, but there are some differences. So, but today, we want to talk out to the ladies out there and kind of like, you know, get them going in terms of what they need to do in order to get started. So if they're going to start assessing their body, what do you think? I mean, you know, for me, if you know, back in the old days, because I'm a, you know, I started this a long time ago, but I'm still trying to catch up here. You know, the first thing I wanted to do was to figure out, you know, what their body type was. I mean, are they holding a lot of fat? You know, are they pretty much lean? Are they not lean? Or, you know, or what? I mean, so, but now that you're out there in practice, what do you do, Keith?
You know, it's pretty much the same thing you were doing 15, 20 years ago, Steve. You just, you got to assess your client or the person looking at his weight. The minute I meet him, I'm already assessing strengths, weaknesses, identifying where they hold body fat, where they're lean, where they might have some muscle imbalances. Right off the bat, I'm looking, you know, if I was looking at a female, I'm going to go hips, butt, stomach. Those are the areas that I'm going to identify first. And from there, I'll go maybe to the arm. The triceps are typically a problem area for some females. But
okay.
You can usually go by that, either that pear shape or apple or, you know, however you want to call it, what fruit you're going by. But that's a good way
right.
to distinguish how you're going to deal with that person. And
okay.
I mean, that doesn't mean that every pear will lose weight like every pear. So you still got to get to know that person even better and figure out
right.
what their dietary habits are to get the plan going right.
That's true. Right. That's right. Yeah. You can forget. And then, you know, I think one of the biggest things is that, like I said, you look at the body type, but then you also got to try to figure out, you know, what's going to motivate them. You know, what's going to keep them going. You know, you can throw up all the plans you want and put somebody on it, but you know, there's something that's going to have that they're going to have with inside them to keep them driving forward. I mean, a lot of people, I'm sure, they come to you, you know, they're ready to get, because they're, you know, they're trying to get into a wedding dress or, you know, or there's some, you know, something going on, some major event that they want to look good at, or, you know, so, or, you know, and also in your case, I know that you have a lot of people that are also competing that come to you too, you know, that are competing as far as a physique contest. But for the person that's out there that just wants to lose some weight, you know, I'm not really sure what is going to motivate them, other than the fact that once they do start to lose some weight, okay, they're going to feel that much better. Not to mention, you know, like I said, if they've already have a problem with, you know, pre-diabetes or cholesterol or, you know, high blood pressure, you know, a lot of those things are going to be minimized, you know, you can never say that, you know, if you've already started medication, you're going to come off the medication. But in a lot of cases, you know, you can really cure a lot of this stuff just by losing some of the extra pounds. But I think the biggest thing is the lifestyle change. So once they, you know, realize that they got to make a lifestyle change, I think mentally that's where the block comes. So I don't know. How do you prepare them for that? I mean, what do you say to say, look, you know what, you know, you're over here and you're not doing this, or you're doing this, or do you beat them up, or do you, you know, or do you come over and say, look, I understand, but can you just add this, or, you know, so in assessing them, you've got to figure out, you know, mentally where they are too, not just physically. So, you know, what do you do, I should ask, Keith?
Steve, you hit it right on the head there. The mental diagnosis is probably bigger than the actual physical. I mean, that is where I'm going to figure out where I can, how I can train these people or how I can motivate them. You know, what motivates people varies from one to another. And some people, you know, do good with the negative reinforcement, and others, you know, that could be the worst way of motivating them. So you kind of feel them out at first to get to know how you can get these people motivated to lose weight. You know, that usually takes about one session for me, or 5 minutes of getting to know somebody, how they are, and what will get them to go. I left the little goals of the weddings, or the, I got a date coming up or something, or I want to impress a guy. I think that's good to have those little goals, and if you achieve them, hopefully it'll lead to a lifestyle change. But I also go, I'm huge on not weighing yourself. I mean, you know, this is a weight loss show. How do you not weigh yourself, Keith? Well, I would go by how your clothes are fitting. I would go by how you look in the mirror. That's, people really have to get to know themselves physically also. A lot of people avoid that mirror. Well, it's time to get comfortable with being in front of it and seeing your body change, because a lot of times the scale might not change, but your body is transforming. You might be adding muscle. Could be dropping body fat and exchanging it for muscle. So that's where you got to really focus on how you look and feel. Because, you know, weight loss is great, but feeling stronger, healthier, that's just as important, because the two go hand in hand. If you feel stronger and healthier, usually you're going to be losing weight at the same time.
Okay. Now, you know, like I'm saying, you know, we're talking to the ladies today, and it's going to be a little different than with, you know, the guys. So, you know, not that, you know, you have to be delicate or anything, but you have to understand, you know, that, you know, their outlook as to, you know, why they believe that they want to do it. Now, what I found is that a lot of women, if they're losing weight, you know, if they want to lose weight, they're going to do it only because they want somebody else to praise them. You know, it may not be that they may not really care about how they feel unless they're getting the praise. So, and they'll tell me that. They say, look, you know, I want to look like, you know, J-Lo or, you know, one of the other celebrities out there, or, you know, or Beyonce or something. You know, because I like that same attention, notoriety, or whatever. Now, my question is, are you willing to put in the work for it? Are you really willing to, you know, just to change your lifestyle that much, you know, to do it? Whereas, you know, the guys are kind of like, well, example, okay, guys really would rather just work out in their basement. If they could afford to, they would, you know, go into seclusion somewhere, okay, and just work out like Rocky, and then come out, you know, because that's, you know, they sometimes take a different approach. So mentally, you know, when I'm thinking about women, you know, I don't really know always exactly what's going to motivate them and what's going to keep them motivated. So you're right. So the first thing I think is that, in order to get going at all, you have to, there's got to be some goal there, you know, and something that, you know, say, look, you know, for me, it used to be, you know, okay, look, within 2 weeks, if you do this, this is where you're going to be. Within the next 6 weeks, you know, small steps, and give them something, and then give them some praise to go along with it, to, you know, to show them how they, you know, how well they're doing and how close they are to reaching that goal. And I think that's the first thing. Yeah, in the assessment, to figure out where they are, you know, what they want to do, you know, in their mind, how they think this change is going to come about, okay? And then try to figure out, you know, how to mentally, you know, get them on that track, you know, how to keep them going and motivated all at the same time.
Yeah, Steve, I think that's a great way of getting people started. And I mean, just think about anything in life. If you didn't have a goal, I mean, you would live a pretty pointless existence. I mean, what gets you to wake up in the morning? I mean, if you had no goals or
aspirations, I don't think anyone would be very driven to get out of bed and get their day going. I know I wouldn't be.
Yeah,
so you
got
to think about that too. So if you're entering the gym with no plan of attack or no goal or no transformation idea, you're not going to reach anything. So you need to set small goals for you. You could have a major goal, like a year-long goal, but you need mini goals. I think mini goals are a great way because you can see those and achieve them quick and still be heading in the right direction for your big goal.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. And you know, and I think that's where when you're assessing the female body, okay, and knowing that, you know, they want to see results pretty quickly, or they want to see something that's measurable so that everybody else can see it, you know, then that's where you've got to look at it and say, look, okay, you know what, it could be something simple. Say, look, okay, you know, in 2 weeks now, I'm going to measure your thigh, but in 2 weeks, I'm telling you, in 2 weeks, you do what I ask you to do. In 2 weeks, you're going to see a difference. You know, it may drop by maybe a half an inch, or you know, maybe we can get a quarter of an inch off your hips. You know, so that's the kind of thing that they're looking for. Whereas a guy comes in there, he may be saying, okay, you know what? Today I'm only bench pressing 70 pounds. When do I get to bench press 150? You know what I'm saying? And you're thinking, okay, this guy's asking for a lot of muscle that he wants to put on here, but, you know, it doesn't happen overnight. So anyway, you still, again, you got to have small goals, and then you start from there. So, but to keep us on track here, you know what, I'm going to ask you, so what do you think? So when your female body comes in, and knowing that, you know, they're going to be looking for something that's measurable right away, when you assess their body, okay, what do you do? What do you look at to say, you know what, you know, we can get this, I can get this in 2 weeks, I can get this in 3 weeks, I can, if I sit down, talk to them long enough, and get the plan going, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to set something up so they can see something right away, and somebody else is going to see something. So at least if somebody sees them and knows that they're on this plan to lose weight, you know, they can say, you know what, well, I did lose, you know, a half an inch, you know, on my hips or whatever, you know. Maybe you can't see it, but, you know, it's there. I know it's there. And so at least, you know, they'll feel confident about themselves at knowing that if they continue, that they're going to see more results, and then people will start noticing it as well. So,
I think you're right. You got to, first of all, measurements are a great way of doing exactly what it is, measuring how your progress is going. You know, your waist, your hips, your butt, you know, your chest, your shoulders, your arms. Those are great things to see the numbers drop or improve and go up whichever way you're going and weight loss going down. And people like to see it at the quarter of an inch, a half an inch. That's measurable. So they like that. Even if, you know, somebody doesn't notice it, they know they lost that half inch. So to them, that's a huge success right there. Another good tactic I've had is introduce people to other people at the gym, because then they'll see them where they started at, where they're at in the middle of their their transformation, and towards the end. So you almost get workout buddies who can keep you motivated along the way, because they're, you know, if they expect to see Jill at noon, you know, Jenny is going to be there.
Right, that's
because
right.
They just expect it to be, you know, oh, you missed last week. Where were you? And, oh, you're looking great, you know. You look like you've lost weight. Your butt's looking good. You know, girls will tell that to each other, and that keeps people going. And females are also super competitive. So if I can have them trying to one-up each other, this might sound bad. I think that's good, too. Competition's great. I love competition, so... If I can help hold them accountable that way, I think that's also a great way to measure success and also make some friends along the way.
Right. I hear you. That's exactly it. Accountability, that's a big thing there, is the fact that now they know that somebody's watching, and then they can actually say what the results are, or somebody else can see, you know, results that really, you know, helps with the motivation. Yeah, you're exactly right. So now, with that said, though, when you're assessing, you know, the ladies, you know, are you looking a lot for, you know, lean body mass versus, you know, where they're storing the fat. Are you saying, okay, the hips are too large here, or, you know, or maybe there's too much on the, you know, on their triceps, or, you know, too much fat on the triceps or something, or what is it that you may go for?
All those things. I mean, I'm going to analyze the body critically right away. I might not tell them this, but I'm going to, usually most females know anywhere where their problem areas are. You can tell right away if they're what I would consider like bottom heavy. They got bigger thighs, bigger butt. They store more body fat than they do up top. So right there, we would set up a plan of attack that would limit the amount of weight gain that we were trying to get anywhere, because it's most likely going to be stored in the lower body. So our training would be geared more towards, you know, cardiovascular, eating right, along with our weights. So right away, I'm going to identify those problem areas. You know, if you're bottom heavy, if you, you know, you hold fat in your arms a little bit more, or if you got a little bit of a stomach, those are areas we're going to try to target more so than we would others. But as a whole, your body's going to take body fat where it wants to. So you can't spot reduce. You can't do crunches till you're blue in the face and expect to have a six-pack if you're still eating McDonald's and donuts. So overall, we're going to set up a good weight loss program for everyone. Certain people who are leaner to start out aren't going to be on as strict of a diet, and maybe their cardio will be a little less. And then if you're holding a little more body fat, we're going to start you out doing cardio more often and a little bit stricter of a diet. That's my plan of attack typically.
Well, yeah, and now suppose that the lady comes in, because, you know, they've already come in with in their mind what they want to do. You know, they want to look like, you know, somebody that they've seen, you know, in the news or in the media. So, you know, they're going to come out and say, look, you know what, I think my stomach is too big. When do I get this down? Or they may come and say, you know what, I think I'm flapping too much under my arms, or, you know, or they may even say, you know what, my breasts are just hanging too low, you know. So, you know, they're looking for, I don't know, sometimes, you know, really, from what I hear, sometimes they're looking for a cosmetic surgeon as opposed to, okay, let's figure out how to lose the weight, okay, and then from there, we'll do, you know, we're going to work on this toning and everything else. Because, but they are individual, and everybody's being individual. They're not going to look like, you know, somebody else. They'll look better, but they're never going to look like someone else, because everybody is an individual.
You're exactly right. I mean, I'll have some people come in and they say they want to look like you said, Beyonce or J-Lo or, you know, Cameron Diaz or something, and their body type doesn't match up with them at all. You have to try to, you can pick and choose parts, I think, that you can maybe aspire to have, but like we talked about earlier, everybody's an individual, and it's unrealistic to think you're going to have, you know, a J-Lo butt if your hips are narrow. You can improve on it and make yours better, but I think that's a big thing you got to get across to everyone, is that, you know, you're trying to improve yourself overall. I think it's good to look up to people, but you got to identify yourself and try to improve that and go from there. I think it's great to be motivated by others, but you also have to be comfortable with yourself and identify how you want to look, knowing what you're capable of.
Right, exactly. Right, it does. And you know, I think, you know, because back in the day, what I would do is that if somebody came in, okay, I would kind of look at them and say, okay, now this, if they were in shape, they would look like some celebrity in the media, and then I would take a picture or from a newspaper or magazine or something and pull it out and say, look, you know what, you know, if you stay on course, this is what you could look like. I mean, you know, they may come in thinking, you know, well, I want to look like, you know, I want to look like, you know, Brooke Shields, but I'm saying, look, okay, you know what? First of all, you know, you're only 4'7", you know, and Brooke is pretty tall. And so, but here's where you can look. This is who you can look like, okay? And then once they get that picture in their mind, okay, hopefully it's something that, you know, they think is aspiring, you know, then that's what they'll shoot for. So, but you got to explain to them about, you know, certain things like genetics, you know, their age, where they are right now in life when they walk in and want to lose this weight.
I agree with you. Another thing that can motivate people also is, you know, when you're working out or training or talking with people who are trying to lose weight, you can always think about how that person eats or sleeps or trains. Even if your body could never look like them, you can still say, you know, would Beyonce eat this slice of pizza? Would she drink these 5 beers? You know, those are things that could also motivate you, have your role models, but still not necessarily look like them, but still be motivated by them because their diet is good. Or you read in a magazine that they have a great exercise program. Those are things that could also motivate you and still aspire to be like your ideal physique, but still know that you can achieve a goal that is measurable for yourself.
Exactly, yes. So, now, what's your approach generally? I mean, when they come in and they want to, if they're saying they just want to lose weight, they generally, you know, women, you know, guys will come in and say, hey, I want to lose 20 pounds. Women come in and say, basically, you know, like I said, they're looking for something more visual. They're telling you who they want to look like, you know. So what's your approach, basically, you know, to help them, you know, figure out or assess where they should be?
Well, first of all, you know, you're going to take your measurements, you're going to weigh them, you're going to go from there.
Okay.
You're going to figure out their lean body mass. But the main thing is, you know, I find that a lot of females are stuck on numbers. They're stuck on, oh, I should weigh this, or so-and-so weighs that.
Exactly.
I think that's a horrible way to measure somebody's health or their lean body mass is going by a number. That's where, again, the mirror comes into play. I can't stress this enough how important it is just to look at yourself from the beginning, the middle, the end of when you're on a diet to see how your body has changed. If I could, I weigh about 240 pounds right now. If I could keep my weight at 240 but lose all my body fat, I'd be thrilled about that. But it means I lost a lot of fat, but the scale didn't change.
Exactly.
That's why people need to analyze themselves critically by how they look in the mirror and then go from there as far as, of course, the weight loss is going to come along with it. So I think you got to go measure goals that way. A lot of my female clients or female friends say, come to me and say, Keith, I want to lose 50 pounds. I want to lose 40 pounds. And it's just unrealistic, really, because they, for one, be nothing. They don't realize that they probably wouldn't like the way they looked with 50 less pounds or 20 less pounds. So that's where you got to just look at your body or look at a friend or a client's body and tell them, you know, if we just shave a little bit off here, add a little bit here, pull this up by doing squats or lunges or tries to push down, then the people start to realize, oh, you know, there's more to changing your weight and your body composition than just weight loss, because you can lose lean body mass along with body fat. So I think you really have to advocate to people the importance of seeing your body transform to a lean, mean fighting machine instead of just losing weight and still having body fat on you.
Right.
Because you can lose 30 pounds of body fat, water, and look great, lean, and then lose, or some of you can lose 50 pounds that's, you know, 50% fat and 50% muscle, and they're still not happy with the way they look, but technically they lost more weight than the person next to them.
Exactly.
So,
right.
I think you got to go by how you look. You know, numbers are great, and that's where your measurements come in and help you. But the scale is not always our friend. So we got to go and look in the mirror, measure our legs, our triceps, our biceps, everything to see how we're improving in other ways.
Yeah, and you know, and I think that's exactly the case. And what confuses the issue sometimes is the medical profession now says, you know, they're going by this BMI. You know, you're a height, you know, you're a height, you're a weight, and they're saying, you know, that maybe, you know, those numbers, you know, that's where you should be within those numbers. So if your BMI is, I think it's over 30, which means, you know, if they think you're too wide to be for your height, then, you know, that's the issue. But, you know, you've really got to look at, you know, where you need to lose the weight. And then if you're assessing, you know, yourself or if your trainer is assessing you, you know, you've got to say, look, you know, this is what I need to work on, you know, because this is the area, you know, it's a problem. It's either my stomach, my hips, you know, or my back or my forearms or something, you know. So once I start losing the weight where I've been storing it, then, you know, I'm going to feel much better and I'm going to look much better.
And to comment on the BMI, it's a horrible measure of health and lean body mass or how a person should look. I mean, they're very unrealistic goals. I'm about 5'8", and they say I should weigh about 155 pounds. I just think they don't take into consideration muscle at all. And, you know, I go for my physical every year, and I say, you know, I'll take my shirt off right now to prove that I'm leaner than those guys who weigh 155 pounds. So that's another thing I think people need to throw out the door is the BMI when you're trying to achieve your goals.
Yeah. Now, one of the things is though that I don't think you can get away from too much is the age factor now. So because, you know, the age brings about different things with, you know, hormone levels and also, you know, how well you're going to recover or your tolerance to exercise, I should say. So, you know, in that regards, you know, how do you feel about, I mean, well, because it's a delicate subject, basically, especially when you come to women. You know, some just don't want to hear it because they're thinking, you know, you're doing it because, you know, because of their age. But then that has to be a factor. So how do you gently bring that in there, or how do you actually, you know, tell your client, look, this is what we got to do, only because we've got to factor in your age.
Yeah, you know, there's multiple things that age affects, your recovery, your metabolism, hormone production. So I think you just got to stress to older clients or older people trying to lose weight, or even, you know, people my age in their later 20s to early 30s, you know, your body's starting to change a lot from when you were 18, 19, 20, 21. You can't go out all night and drink and eat pizza and still weigh 120 pounds anymore.
That's
so,
right.
You know, letting people know, especially girls my age, they're going, you know, geez, I could eat this in college and not exercise and I wouldn't gain a pound. And I go, well, things are starting to change. You got to explain to them, you know, now that as we age, you know, your metabolism slows down, hormone production changes, your body starts to store more fat. And you just got to advocate to them the importance of even being more strict with their diet, more exercise, you know, the importance of sleeping. People, you know, don't sleep enough, and that plays a huge role in weight loss.
Exactly.
And also just staying healthy. Also, adding lean body mass is so important for women, muscle, as we age, especially not only for, you know, speeding your metabolism up, but also for your bones. You know, women, osteoporosis is a huge problem as we age. So you got to advocate to them the importance of weight training and keeping that muscle to not only speed up your metabolism as you age, but also keep your bones healthy.
Keep going with this. True. That's exactly right. Well, Keith, you know what? We're coming up on a break here. I'm going to take a few minutes out to, you know, we'll let the music play, I guess. And we'll come back and we'll finish up. Okay.
Sounds like a great plan, Steve.
All right.
Bring the action.
When you hear this in the club, you gotta turn the shit up. You gotta turn the shit up. You gotta turn the shit up. When we up in the club, all eyes on us, all eyes on us, all eyes on us. See the boys in the club, they watching us, they watching us, they watching us. Everybody in the club, All eyes on us. All eyes on us. All eyes on us.
I wanna scream and shout and let it all out. And scream and shout and let it out. We saying oh, we are, oh, we are, oh, we are. Oh. We saying oh, we are, oh, we are, oh, we are. Oh. I wanna scream and shout and let it all out. And scream and shout and let it out.
Welcome back to Zone In with Steve Lewis and my guest, Keith Johnson. And we're we're going to finish up this next part about assessing the body in terms of trying to figure out where you should start with weight loss. Keith and I discussed a few philosophies and concepts on what you should do. But and we're talking to ladies today. We'll get the guys another week. But anyway, we're talking to ladies today, and we're basically saying, you know, everybody's an individual. You got to look at where you are, okay, and assess what you need to do from there. And then, and where you actually, you know, where you fit on the scale of, you know, basically, how do I say it gingerly here? how much weight you need to lose based on you personally, not, you know, somebody else who's maybe, you know, much. Who may weigh much more than you do or weigh much less than you do. So your body type has a lot to say about that. Keith, you know, a couple of things that, you know, like we just brought up before in the previous segment was about age. Now, one of the other things that, you know, that also has to go into the assessment is pretty much tolerance to exercise. Now, some ladies come in, you know, they've been gymnasts or they were gymnasts in high school or college or something, you know, or, you know, they have a very high fitness level where other ladies don't. So, now, and really, it doesn't really matter if once they're overweight, they're overweight. So, you know, but you still have to take that into account because, you know, that there's a mental factor there that says, okay, they know they can get it done, okay, but you don't know how far they'll push themselves. So, what do you take into account when you're asking them, you know, hey, you know, so have you ever trained before? You ever done anything before? Or what do you do as far as exercise?
Well, of course, you're going to look at past resistance training history and also athletic endeavors, or even your diet from the past. People who have never exercised, one thing that's fun about that is that, I mean, they're brand new, they're starting off, and so you're going to be able to mold them and shape them into doing things correctly, and their body is going to hopefully react well to the training stimulus because it's brand new. Whereas if somebody's been training for years and years and years and they're still a little overweight, we're going to have to identify what they're doing wrong, what's wrong with their diet, and maybe the recovery or sleep patterns. But with an athlete or somebody who maybe has fallen off the wagon for the last 5-10 years or so, they're also fun because you know they already have a predisposition to being athletic, and typically that comes along with a leaner frame, more muscular, and they're just going to be able to perform exercises more efficiently, and they're more likely to be stronger. That's what I've found with most of my past athletic clients. But the nice thing about people that are never worked out or never been on a diet is that their body hopefully is going to react great to the new changes of the healthy foods and the exercise. Okay. So there's positives to both. You know, there's also muscle memory. Those past athletes that were fairly muscular and lean, that muscle still remembers how to get back into place and perform like it once did.
Once did, that's true, right? Yeah, and then once you do start, you know, doing, especially resistance training, when you, once you do get out there and start, you know, doing some training, you know, you're never going to go back to where you were, you know, where you started off originally. So you're going to be just, you know, somewhere between. Now, with that said, do you do some type of assessment for, like, you know, certain body types, certain body parts, you know, as far as, you know, one rep maximums or something, or, you know, if you see, you know, what they can bench or they can squat or something, or how do you basically go out, you know, in a system along those lines?
I never do one rep maxes, especially with females. But I think that, for one thing, you have to know how to train your nervous system very well to be able to perform a one rep max efficiently. And it is also dangerous to perform a one rep max. I mean, you're pushing your tendons, your ligaments, your muscles to the brink to perform that repetition. So therefore, I never do one rep max, but you can do a 10 rep max, and that's a good way of finding out where you stand as far as strength levels. Also, you can just kind of feel people out and tell if they're a little thicker down low, they're probably going to be stronger in their legs, or if they're shorter, you know, they're probably going to be a little better with their legs, just, you know, by biomechanics. But I don't necessarily do a strength test per se. It's just more the first workout is really gauging how strong a person is. You can tell almost right away if they're going to be weaker, okay, or stronger, or with their backs, if they're better pushers, better pullers, you know. But a good way of doing that is finding, you know, like a 10 rep max, or even you can take a weight and multiply it by 0.033, actually, and then add that to the weight you were using, and that will actually give you a rep or a weight max that way, which is a pretty easy formula.
Yeah, so there's a calculation. Okay. Now, but from a general standpoint, though, let's say that somebody's really strong in their chest area, but they're really weak in their leg area, and they want to lose weight. I mean, does that have, for you, does that have any significance in terms of, okay, how you're going to put together an exercise program to say, look, they're weak down here, but they're strong up here. You know, and sometimes that's what happens, especially for the guys. The guys come in and say, look, I only want to bench press. Well, okay, yeah, but you want to lose weight too. So, we've got to figure out a plan that's going to get to that goal of losing weight and not so much working on how much you're going to bench press after you're done with the session. So what do you take into account for that?
Oh, well, to comment on that, if somebody was really strong up top and weaker down low, I'd explain to them how important training legs is, just on one pure fact that you burn the most calories while training legs. I mean, they're the biggest muscles in your body, and they exert the most energy to perform a quality leg session. Therefore, you're more likely to burn body fat and more calories by doing legs. That's a good way to really tell most males and females that the importance of leg training. Also, leg training is so intense that your body has to combat the stress by releasing hormones such as growth hormone, testosterone, and those hormones are good at burning body fat and using them to build muscle. So that's just another positive of leg training. That's probably how I would advocate it that way.
Okay.
To do leg workouts, it's just important for burning calories. Overall, too, just if it was vice versa, strong legs and weak upper body, you know, the importance of building upper body is just adding that muscle up top, not only for your daily life, but also your resting metabolic rate is going to be higher, and it's going to take more calories to maintain the body weight you're currently at anyway.
Okay. So now, if they're doing more work with their lower body, okay, so if it's resistance training, you know, and if they're doing more work down there, are you going to still supplement that with a lot of cardio, whether they're on the treadmill or the bike or something, or how do you find a mix for them in order to get them in?
You know, I would try to complement the leg training maybe with the type of cardiovascular training they're doing. On a leg day, I would advocate doing the cardio after your leg workout, just to make sure you're not wasting energy or your strength on cardio versus what you could have performed during your weight training session. But I think the step mill, where it's like the rotating stairs, is great, because that's going to really hit the quads, hamstrings, and glutes great, along with what you did during your squats, your lunges, your deadlifts. That's just going to complement it and hopefully tighten things up through that area. And you can even keep working the muscles on a cardio piece like that. Riding the bike would be great after a leg session, just because it's controlled. You're not going to fall down from being weak. So I would think about that as far as a safety measure also, to make sure that you don't fall off the treadmill or something like that.
Okay, all right. Now, with that said, do you, okay, does age play a factor in there? Because, I mean, you know, because there are women over 50 that are still overweight, you know, and that they might want to come in, but women over 60, and you know, women over 70. So do you, I mean, would you take on the same approach, just, you know, just at a different level, or how would you go about doing it for them?
You got to take a similar approach or the same approach. It's just that it's going to be scaled down. I mean, I'm not going to have many of my older female clients doing plyometric type movements. For one reason, they most likely already have some joint issues going on. You know, their knees hurt, their ankles hurt, or they might have hurt themselves in the past doing exercise where they're jumping up and down and they're scared to almost perform that exercise. So I'm going to work their muscles in a more traditional fashion or a safer one plane type of activity. Whereas with some younger females, you're able to beat their bodies up a little bit more just because their joints are better, ligaments, tendons. They haven't beat them up as much because they're much younger, and give them more plyometric type exercises to burn calories along with the weight training. But all in all, I'd say you got to take a similar approach as far as your diet, and the weights are just going to be not at such a great impact if you know what I'm saying.
All right, I understand. Now, so, but is there any difference, though? So even if you scale back, does that mean that they're going to it's going to take them longer to lose weight, or it's going to take them the same or take the same amount of time?
This is where your body type and, you know, age plays a role in that your metabolism has slowed down, your hormones have changed, you might not be producing them as much. Some females might have gone through menopause already. So these are all factors that could slow down the weight loss program. As far as for an 18-year-old girl, she's going to be pretty fresh hormonally, and she's just going to be burning calories at a rapid rate once she starts an exercise program.
Okay.
So, of course, age does play a role in how fast the weight is going to come off. Typically, you know, your younger females will lose weight faster than older.
Okay.
So how do you
keep everybody kind of motivated? I mean, so, again, if they know this, because there's still going to be some changes, irregardless as to what their age is. But, I mean, but so how do you... What do you do to, you know, to let them know that, hey, you know, even though you're older or even though, you know, you're much younger or whatever, you know, this is where this is how we're going to start this, and you're going to see a definite transition.
This is where with the older females, I would really advocate the small goals, the seeing the changes in your body. Maybe your legs are feeling tighter. Maybe your butt looks a little more toned. Your shoulders look more toned, but the scale might not have changed. You know, it's still progress. Your physique is still looking better overall. And even strength levels, you'd be surprised with a lot of females. They like to get stronger also, or they're able to run on the treadmill for an extra 10 minutes than they did the week before. Those are the big things to keep anybody motivated. It's just seeing little progress. It's when people stall or they're not seeing any changes physically, mentally, emotionally, that they give up on a program. You have to also keep reinforcing that the change is going to happen. You're just going to have to bear with it. They say the American College of Sports Medicine says that it can take 6 to 8 weeks to see any physical changes. Those first 2 months of training, a lot of times, are changes in the nervous system. You know, the tendons, ligaments, muscles are getting stronger, but the body might not actually be changing. So that's even more important to show people that, hey, you're getting stronger. You know, you did that much easier than you did the week before. You were on the step mill for 30 minutes without even, you know, having to stop once. Those are the goals that people need to see to realize that the weight training and diet is improving.
Gotcha. Okay. So, and knowing that, that's where they should actually be looking at to say, okay, am I improving? If I am, keep going and go from there. That, I see what you're saying. That's a great point. You know, and really, that helps out everybody, irregardless of their age and experience level and tolerance to exercise. Now, one of the things that I want to wrap up with you today is to talk a little bit about, do you go after what they consider the core strength? And, you know, and that's irrespective of, you know, age or or what they have, you know, or body type, I should say, you know. Do you do anything special with that?
You know, Steve, the core gets a lot of attention. It gets a lot of, you know, TV specials. It gets a lot of, you know, infomercials, how to tighten
exactly.
up your core.
Right.
And I think your core is just what it is. It's your core. You know, it's important. It maintains your balance, your posture. Those are the factors I try to advocate to clients. Is this is important for everyday life and to complement your exercise, your squats, your deadlifts. You're going to be stronger if your core is stronger there on those movements. But you also have to explain to people that if you do crunches, planks, leg raises, side crunches, all these ab exercises and lower back exercises, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to have a flatter, more toned stomach. That, you know, there's a famous saying in the bodybuilding world that, you know, abs are made in the kitchen.
Exactly.
And that couldn't be more true. Is, you know, I could have the strongest abs in the world, but if I'm eating McDonald's and Big Macs and, you know, all that garbage, you're never going to see my abs. They're going to be buried under a layer of fat. So the core is important to train for your overall health, balance, you know, posture, but I also try to stress to people the importance of a healthy diet to see those abs when
right.
your body fat begins to lose.
Yeah, and that's exactly why I wanted to bring it up, because I didn't see, you know, once you got a good exercise program going on, and then you get a good diet, and you've already made the correct assessment, you know, and that's why you're on this right track, is that you've made the correct assessment. You know, you're not going to be concerned about, you know, about these different things that come out in the media saying anything about, you know, you got to train your core or change this or whatever. And that's because that's what happens. A lot of them come in and they say, you know what, I'm doing this, but I saw on TV last night, if I change this, you know, wait a minute. No, we're showing your progress here. You're progressing, but now you want to change something that you saw on television last night. Does that make sense? Let's just keep the program here. And that's exactly what I was thinking.
You know, you have these programs that are 5-minute abs, 6 and 12-minute abs, you know.
I know.
And it's just, people got to remember the saying, if it sounds too good to be true, it's probably too good to be true. So, I mean, hard work, that's the number one way you're going to achieve those goals. And if it sounds too good to be true, it is.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. I appreciate you saying the same thing, man. Yep. Okay, well, I think that's our time for the day. I appreciate it. We're going to be back next week, and we're going to continue with this series. So if you're out there, you have any questions or comments or whatever, shoot me an email, and we'll go back on that next week. Thanks a lot.
All right, Steve. Thanks again for having me, buddy.
Okay, Keith. Appreciate it.